Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's National Immigration Forum call on Out of Many, One Report. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode, and later you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that today's call may be recorded, and I will be standing by should you need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Kathleen Farrell. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the National Immigration Forum and More in Common press call. Amid an immigration debate that seems designed to polarize, the United States faces a fundamental challenge: how to live up to our motto, out of many, one. Two new reports offer hope that immigration can unite rather than divide us. With our partners at More in Common, the National Immigration Forum today is releasing Out of Many, One, a defining moment for American immigration. This report is based in large part on what we called living room conversations with faith leaders, police officers, business owners, immigrants, refugees, and other community members in 26 cities and towns across the country on how they perceive immigrants and immigration. For a copy of the report, you can go to our website, www.immigrationforum.org/out-of-many-one. More in Common has also just released findings from its own Hidden Tribes of America study, the initial phase of an ambitious year-long project to understand what is driving Americans apart and what can bring us back together. We're fortunate to have a really great group on the call today. Ali Noorani is the Executive Director of the National Immigration Forum, and we'll hear from two participants in local living room conversations. Ramon Batista is the police chief in Mesa, Arizona, and Megan Smith is Director of College and Career Readiness with the Spartanburg Academic Movement in South Carolina. And we also have two of our partners at More in Common. Stephen Hawkins is Director of Research, and Mohammed Naeem is More in Common's U.S. Associate. With that, I'll turn it over to Ali Noorani. Ali, please go ahead.
Great. Thank you so much, Kathleen. So like Kathleen said, we, over the course of 2018, pulled together 26 living room conversations in, by and large, suburban and rural conservative communities across the country. These conversations, along with the data from our partners at More in Common, who you'll hear from in a few minutes, as well as other resources across the country, have led us to believe that whether we are Democrat, Republican, or Independent, Americans want their leadership to rise above the polarization and partisanship to find pragmatic and rational solutions to the immigration debate. What we also learned is that there are, what I would say, four fears or four issues really coursing through the American electorate. The first and probably the foremost is the question of identity. What does it mean to be an American in this day and age, and who gets to define what it means to be an American in this day and age? Then there are three anxieties, cultural, security, and economic. And those questions that people grapple with are immigrants and refugees, are they integrating, are they isolating, are they threats or protectors, are they giving or taking to our nation's economy? But like what we learned through the conversations and through the accompanying data is that there is a desire that we do have a different debate on immigration issues in the country, and that there is, I think, a growing consensus, growing sense that immigration can be the issue that that reunifies the country. And I think there are three reasons for that. One, the American story is the immigrant story. We have an opportunity to modernize the notion of America and the American identity. Second, the faith community is in a position to take a lead in addressing questions and concerns around culture. I mean, we saw earlier this week in the New York Times a delegation of evangelical women who were speaking to the cultural, and not so much the cultural, but the values base through which now they have come to see the nation's immigration debate and what they're looking for from both Republican and Democratic leadership. And many of the majority of the folks who participated in our living room conversations were from the faith community. And third, and perhaps most importantly, is that immigration is one of the few issues with a modern history of bipartisan leadership. So even this year, at a time, or just these last 2 years, when it feels like this debate is so deeply polarizing, we've had members of Congress from Republican Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma to Democrats like Senator Michael Bennett of Colorado working together towards urging the administration and urging their colleagues towards more constructive and pragmatic approaches to the immigration debate. So at the end of the day, we hope that if we, both as an organization and, Frank, more importantly, as a community, we keep listening, we keep engaging, and we keep envisioning a new approach to American immigration, that ultimately the country will come back together and we will find a path towards re-energizing the sense of, yes, that we can be, out of many, we can be one.
Thank you, Ali. Our next speaker is Chief Ramon Batista of Chief of Police in Mesa, Arizona. If I'm not mistaken, Chief, I believe you also hosted a living room conversation. So please go ahead.
I did. Thank you very much. I had the opportunity to host a living room conversation at Mesa PD in Mesa, Arizona, and also in attendance with me that day was Michael Sobert, the Gilbert police chief. I'm going to echo a lot of the things that Ali said that came forward out of our conversation. I'll tell you that the city of Mesa, the East Valley of Phoenix, is a conservative area that's very focused on its safety. And that is something that I never lose sight of, right? Our community safety is of vital importance. But it is interesting that when we have the conversations, especially the one that we had in Mesa, that never really came up as a concern. The biggest concern really revolved around the issue of leadership and our immigration system, and where and when are we going to get to a place that it is that it's at a better place than it is today. Arizona has had SB 1070 in place for 8 years. And so as a law enforcement officer, I can tell you that we have worked very hard, and I echo this because I've seen it in other law enforcement agencies as well. We've worked very hard at moving ourselves from the earliest stages in 2010, when this law really created a division between ourselves and the communities that we serve. And so I genuinely felt that we had done a lot of good. And so here recently, in the last 12 months, the rhetoric surrounding immigration and build a wall has intensified. But I tell you that the work that we had done with our communities to build the trust and allow them the opportunity to see us as caring human beings has really helped us in these last 12 months or so. Our officers at Mesa, for example, I think are very caring individuals. And so the focus is really mostly on our victims and our witnesses, in ensuring that in minority communities and in immigrant communities, that victims and witnesses are protected, and that we have the opportunity to get those statements and really go after the people that are victimizing them. And the times that I've had an opportunity to have those conversations with our immigrant communities, I can see it in their eyes. I can see in their nodding of approval that's what they want as well. I mean, at the end of the day, they believe in the same things everybody else believes. They want to work hard. They want to provide for their family. They are God-fearing folks, and they really do believe in the rule of law. They don't want felons, gang members, murderers. They don't want those folks in their midst either, and that's come across over and over again. So I would say that, in closing, I'll say that the last 8 years or so of living and working with SB 1070 have made it so that the recent rhetoric was maybe not as hard felt in some of the communities that I had a chance to work, because of the work that we had done previous to and leading up to where we're at today.
Thank you very much, Chief. And our next speaker is Megan Smith, Director of College and Career Readiness with the Spartanburg Academic Movement in South Carolina, and also a participant in the Spartanburg Living Room Conversation. Please go ahead, Megan.
Thanks, Kathleen. I also helped host one of our Living Room Conversations, and it was a really unique time for all of us. We had pastors, nonprofit funders, a legislator, a DACA recipient, educators, business owners, and like Ali mentioned in his talk, we really talked a lot about identity. What does it mean to be an American? And I think one of the main things that came out of that is that all of us, regardless of where we were born or what our legal status is, has those similar values. Just like the chief mentioned, whether that's providing for our family, wanting to be respected and recognized for our contributions in our community. All of those things came out in that conversation. And another thing that we focused on was the issue of trust. We realized that communities grow at the rate of trust. And if there's fear or hostility or distrust, then our overall growth is going to be stunted and held back until those issues are resolved. And really listening to each other and hearing each other's stories and recognizing immigrants for their contributions, that's what is going to be able to push this conversation forward and help us to come up with practical solutions that are going to benefit all of our community. And one thing we've done in Spartanburg is recognizing that, just like the topic of this conversation, that we are many different communities with different needs and values and perspectives, but we are one Spartanburg. And so under our Chamber of Commerce, we came up with a strategy and a vision called One Spartanburg that really looks deep at the data to try to find where are those disparities and inequities and how can we address them in order to move the entire community forward. And one thing that came out of that is, you know, as the Director of College and Career Readiness, we have set some pretty ambitious educational goals for our community. But we realized that, for example, DACA recipients aren't able in South Carolina to receive in-state tuition or access to state scholarships. And so last year, you know, we helped work on this bill that would provide that for our DACA recipients, because we realized that if we have these larger educational goals and yet there's students in our community who don't have access to that, then we need to work on that if we're going to move the needle forward for our entire community. And another theme that that came out in that conversation was that we're really not as polarized and divisive as we hear that America is. We all agreed that we want to benefit our entire community, and that we recognize that there's a lot of work that needs to be done around that, but at the end of the conversation, we all agreed that we need to come around the table together and recognize each other's values and contributions, because if that distrust is there, then it's going to impact our entire community.
Thanks very much, Megan. Our next speaker is Mohammed Naeem, U.S. Associate at Moore & Common. Please go ahead, Mohammed.
Thank you very much, Kathleen. It's wonderful to be on the call, so thanks for inviting us. Just as way of background, More in Common is an international initiative that goes to strengthen societies against some of the increasing threats of polarization and social division. Our main aim as an organization here in the United States is to build a more united, inclusive, and resilient America, just like everyone else has been saying on the call. We generally work in partnership with a wide range of civil society groups, philanthropy, education, faith, media, and government groups to try to connect people across these lines of difference. And the ways in which we do that is conducting research into public attitudes, building communication initiatives that resonate with the majority, and also work on projects such as the work that we're doing in partnership with the National Immigration Forum to bring people together in ways that can counter the forces of fracturing and fragmentation. Now, with that being said, I'd just like to introduce, it was mentioned earlier on in the call that we had just released some More in Common, our Hidden Tribes report. So the framing of Hidden Tribes is such that it's a year-long project that's been launched by More in Common, in fact, yesterday, to try to understand the forces that drive political polarization and tribalism in the United States and to galvanize efforts to address them. The Hidden Tribes of America study forms the initial phase of this work. Our findings shed light that not only why immigration has been such a polarizing flashpoint, but also how we might be able to change the conversation in that way. And endeavors such like the living room conversations are the sorts of initiatives that can bring people together, really speaking through difference, whether it's at the local level, at the state level, or at the national level. The Hidden Tribes study is just not, it's not an ordinary poll, that which you see often come down from the media and possibly other research institutions. It involved over 9 months of work, including a representative survey of over 8,000 American respondents, conversations with over 90 everyday Americans about their attitudes with a range of issues, including ideology, moral values, group identity, political attitudes, immigration, identity, gender, religion, et cetera. And what we found is that the story that is often told about any one of these issues is that the U.S. is profoundly polarized and is generally a 50-50 country. And that's just not the case. There's a lot more nuance in the ways in which people perceive the issues that are most proximal to them. And we found that this polarization is hitting home, just not in our politics. It's folks are feeling this polarization and division in their families and their local communities and the places of worship, and to the extent that it's even affecting their personal and professional relationships. But like it's been mentioned before, and I'll let my colleague Stephen Hawkins go into some of the more detailed parts of our research. But moving beyond this polarization is possible on an issue like immigration, which is why we've been so happy to work with the National Immigration Forum on this work. We believe that the work that they're doing and the work that we're doing, alongside other partners and members of the sector, to hone in on the fact that over close to 77% of Americans still say that our differences are not so great that we can't come together. And Americans are frustrated by division. They're frustrated by the social fragmentation and the way in which our politics has bled into our social life. And we're really, really keen to continue to understand more and continue to find sensible solutions to an issue like immigration amongst many. So it's wonderful to be here. Thank you, Kathleen.
Thanks, Mohammed. I know Stephen's line was cut off and he's trying to call back in. Stephen, are you back on?
This is Stephen.
Stephen. So our next speaker is Stephen Hawkins, Director of Research at More in Common. Please go ahead, Stephen.
Thank you, Kathleen. Yeah, so as Mohammed laid out for us, we released our Hidden Tribes report yesterday. We're very excited about the findings that it showed, and I think what's exciting is that it kind of echoes some of the things that both Ali said and that Megan said, but comes from a slightly different, more quantitative angle. This is a public opinion study where we surveyed 8,000 Americans, and then we've spent the last 10 months analyzing that data. And what we found is that the United States really isn't, as Megan was saying, a 50-50 split down the middle society, but rather we found that really it was more accurate to group people into one of seven tribes. And these tribes were grouped people according to their core beliefs. And this is their worldview, their values, how they perceive their identity. And we didn't group people according to demographics, their race, their age, their income, but rather we looked at how they understood the world and experienced the world, and then grouped them that way. And by doing so, we found that we could powerfully predict their views on a wide range of political issues that included immigration, and that allowed us to understand some of the underlying reasons and some of the underlying motivations for their perception of questions like support for a wall, support for refugees, and support for pathway to citizenship. And what we found is that in not grouping people into two groups, but rather into seven, we learned that, as is, has been suggested earlier on the call, that there really is a very vocal minority that we call the wings. And these wings represent 33% of the population, and the most active and most vocal group is just 14% of the population on the left and the right. And they tend to really define how the public conversation can be experienced, even though they don't represent a majority of the country or even necessarily a majority of their own side of the political spectrum. And conversely, 67% of the population is a group we call the exhausted majority. And this is a group that contains moderates, people who we refer to as politically disengaged. This is a group of people who aren't engaged in everyday discussions about politics or following the news closely, but instead are focused more on their day-to-day lives, as well as a group of passive liberals, and a group of traditional liberals. And so we have people that are both to the left and to the right, as well as centrist in the exhausted majority, but what brings them together is a sense that they've been forgotten by politics. They're also more likely to be flexible in their ideological leaning. They don't necessarily see things in a binary way. They're a little bit more open to discussion and a little bit more open to reason. And they're tired of the division in society. They absolutely feel that the country is being pulled apart and are eager for conversations to be had about how we can address that. There's a lot we could say about the study, and I look forward to your questions.
Thank you very much. Operator, can you please explain to media how to queue for questions?
Absolutely. And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may remove yourself from the question queue by pressing the pound key. Once again, that is the star and one on your touch-tone phone. We'll go ahead and pause for a moment to allow questions to queue.
And while we're allowing media to queue, let me tell you where to find the two papers we've been talking about today. So I mentioned at the top of the call that the forum's paper, Out of Many One, is available at our website. So that's www.immigrationforum.org/out-of-many-one. And Hidden Tribes is available at hiddentribes.us.
And it doesn't look like we have any questions on the phone line at this time.
We'll give it a minute. So in the meantime, Chief Batista, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Okay. So can you describe a little bit the mood of the group at your conversation? Were people hopeful?
Oh.
What did you get out of it?
No hostility. I would say that there were a few folks who were eager to share their views, and there was more that I think were just there to take the experience in. But over time, everybody started talking, but it never no there was I don't think there was any hostility. No.
Yeah, sorry, I said hopeful. I'm curious if they were hopeful.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I think that there was hope, especially towards the end, when more folks were able to, talk about their story and how they arrived and how they've been here and what they've been going through. I think that there was a lot more openness, and that didn't surprise me. It didn't surprise me.
Stephen, a quick question to you as a researcher on Hidden Tribes. How much impact does media play on the exhausted majority and where they and their views?
Right. It plays a really significant role. We found this both in our quantitative stage, where we did the 8,000 interviews, and in our qualitative stage, where we talked to 90 people across the country and a combination of both focus groups and in-depth interviews. And the two ways in which it comes out. The first is that we found from our data that it's the wings, the most politically active Americans, as well as the most ideologically sort of dogmatic Americans, that are the most active in posting on social media about politics. So it's not just a perception that that's the case. We actually now have data to support that. And there's a lot of other data beyond our study that supports that as well. And so that's something to know. It's just that the social media environment is one where the loudest and most certain voices dominate in an environment where there might be a lot of disagreement and a lot of subtlety that's being overlooked. And the second point is that we heard from the exhausted majority that they felt uneasy or uncomfortable or scared about speaking about politics on social media, expressing a viewpoint one way or the other, for fear that they would be judged, for fear that they would be attacked. And that's something which is true in the social media environment, but it's also a finding that we found more broadly to be the case about the exhausted majority in discussing some of these very critical but also very sensitive issues relating to immigration, relating to the refugee population, relating to the screening process, relating to Islam. These are questions where people feel an anxiety about discussing them, and It's initiatives like these that we hope will allow people to feel comfortable stepping forward, expressing anxieties, expressing their empathy, and coming to a common agreement.
Great, thank you. So I don't think we have any questions at this time. We've got some shy media people on today, but you're most welcome to reach out to us and to our colleagues at More in Common. I want to thank our speakers today, and also just a reminder that the forum, the National Immigration Forum, is hosting a convening in Washington, D.C. on November 15th. It will be open to media, and we hope that you will join us there. And I wish everyone a very pleasant afternoon.